Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. This is Larry Batson's Wild World on the magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I officially can say right now, from our studios here in Clinton Falls, that I cannot move, but I'm going to do my best for the next hour. As always, taking care of the technical portions of our program, Melissa Hovey, Wayne Larson in the fine state of Ohio, and from his massive broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. Happy Turkey Day.
Well, thank you. It was absolutely lovely. We feasted just moments ago, and now I'm telling you right now, the tryptophan's already started to take effect. So.
Yep, and I'm just starting to dry out from all the rain we had today.
Rain? We have snow. We have our first drops of snow on our grass right now.
Is that right? Well, here it's just we're just at 33 degrees, so maybe I'll get to see some here shortly.
Well, there is snow officially here in Putnam County, Indiana, so we're very excited about that. Our guest tonight, this is a very wonderful Thanksgiving. My mother is going to be along in a little bit and discuss who knows what. I understand, Dr. Day, you have some questions prepared for my mother tonight.
Yes, I do.
Oh, my Lord.
A lot of things that you wouldn't tell me over the years. So I'm going to have to go to the source.
Well, that'll absolutely be wonderful. But I've been looking forward to this broadcast all day long as we anticipated another week. Oh, I want to tell everybody, we've got some fantastic guests coming up in the next few weeks as well. Next week on the show, Tim O'Connor from Santee Cooper Country down in South Carolina. He's going to be telling us a little bit about this beautiful, magnificent wilderness known as Santee Cooper Country. We'll be talking gators and snakes and all kinds of aquatic birds, and that's going to be coming from South Carolina. Then the week after that, December 9th, Al Jardine, member of the Beach Boys, who now has his own group, he's out on his own, got a fantastic new CD called A Postcard from California with such guests as Steve Miller, Neil Young, the Voices of America, that band, Sister Golden Hair, that's right. And also a spoken word by Alec Baldwin is on the album. It's pretty cool, so he'll be on December 9th. And the week after that, Bobby Caldwell, drummer for such groups as, Rick Derringer, Johnny Winter, Captain Beyond, will be talking about the music of the 70s with Bobby Caldwell. And then after that, going to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, historian Mark Madison will be joining us. We'll be talking about the recent accumulation of archives from a gentleman in Louisiana who is basically responsible for bringing the whooping crane back from extinction, and so Mark will be joining us. Then the very end of December, also very excited, brand new artist from the East Coast. She's well known in the states of New York and PA, but we're going to find out about her all over the world when you listen that night. Laura Cheadle will be on the program. We'll also feature some of her music from our new CD, so we're very excited about that. We want to remind everyone that the Wild World News is underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. Using an artistic modern touch that produce affordable wedding videos that are unique as the couple that stars in them, Jet Kaiser is available for worldwide travel. He's quite a cinematographer, all HD. His website is Jet Kaiser, K-A-I-S-E-R, Films. com, and he brings us the Wild World News with Dr. Henry Day. Dr. Henry Day.
Dr. Henry Day. Oh, that's me. That's the turkey.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's start out in Russia tonight.
Oh,
Russia hosts a tiger summit to save the big cat. Now, without quick action, experts say that the animal could be extinct by 2022. St. Petersburg, Russia, global wildlife experts and officials from 13 countries opened a tiger summit on this last Sunday to discuss how to save the big cats whose numbers have shrunk so sharply they could become extinct if quick measures aren't taken. The World Wildlife Fund and other experts say that only about 3,200 tigers remain in the wild, a dramatic plunge from an estimated 100,000 a century ago. Now, three tiger species, the Bali, the Javan, and the Caspian, have already become extinct in just the past 70 years. Over the past two decades, much has been done to try to save the tigers, but conservation groups say their numbers have continued to fall by about one-third since 1998.
Well, that's a big concern. The problem isn't necessarily keeping the tiger alive or making sure they don't go extinct. It's for them to have a wild habitat, and that's what's shrinking, and that's what brings on those numbers. And when the tiger habitat shrinks, that means they get closer to humans, and humans and tigers don't get along. So it's a very similar situation. We dealt with the grizzly bears, and I know the Sumatran tiger is also very close to becoming extinct. It's such a small area that they live in, and that deforestation that goes on over in that part of the world is a big reason that the tiger has become so close to becoming extinct. Pretty sad.
It is. Well, let's hope they can do some good there.
Let's hope.
All right. Well, let's run off to Mobile, Alabama. A tiny beetle native to Asia has been found in the state for the first time, according to the State Forestry Commission, raising fears that it could wipe out most of the common trees in the Gulf Coast swamps. The Red Bay ambrosia beetle carries a fungus that causes a disease called laurel wilt, which kills Red Bay and sassafras trees. And the sassafras trees are where we get our root beer from.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, I've been put the mug and bun out of business.
For the listeners around the world, the mug and bun is this local drive-in, and it would put it out of business. Absolutely. Good point there, Dr. Day.
All right. Well, Liberty, Mississippi. A 3-foot-tall jailbird is out of custody and back home. The East African crowned crane was reunited with her owners. Miss Crane had escaped from her home and spent the night in a fenced enclosure yard of the MI County Jail after a conservation officer captured the bird. Now, here's a crowned crane who escapes from jail,
yeah,
gets put in jail, and then gets released back to jail.
Yeah, there you go. I would have liked to have had a video of the law enforcement officer trying to capture that crane.
Trying to capture it, yes. That
well, he didn't try, he did it, but I'd still like to see the video. There's some entertainment value there, I know for
oh,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Santa Ana, California. Activists have intensified efforts to get a zoo to end elephant rides. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals says that the Santa Ana Zoo is acting more like a circus than an accredited zoo. Now, PETA enlisted entertainer Charo to write Mayor Miguel Pulido to plead for a ride ban. But the zoo's director there, Kent Yamaguchi, says there is no mistreatment and the rides will continue.
Good for him. They ought to go to India and see where they actually really work elephants. Heck, they put those kids on those elephants. The elephants are saying to themselves, is there somebody up there?
Yeah.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
And, you know, at least the elephants are getting a little bit of entertainment, right, rather than just walking around in a pen. And they get to meet the public up close.
Well, I know I don't think the elephants are, well, maybe they are. Maybe they are thrilled about that. But it's just dumb. PETA sometimes, most of the time, they just don't know what's going on. none of them work with wild animals. So right there, that tells you. They'll be writing me letters now. I don't care. Send them to Dr. Henry Day.
That's right. And I'll we'll give you that address here at the end of the show.
We sure will.
All right, Bartlett, Illinois. Residents of a cul-de-sac have befriended a wild turkey named Lucy, who roosts 25 foot up in a tree near Susan LaPlante's front yard. LaPlante said neighbors try to protect the bird, which has been in the area since April 2009. Now, Lucy even has a Facebook page with nearly 800 members.
What's the bird's name again, Henry? I want to write this down.
Lucy.
And that's all that the Facebook page says on it?
Yeah. Bartlett, Illinois, and I asked for Lucy.
Okay. I will. I'll look up that page. I want to be a friend.
Okay. We're off to Phoenix, Arizona. Bees attack two mountain climbers on Camelback Mountain. Fire Department spokesman Captain Scott McDonald said the experienced climbers were stung multiple times but were not taken to a hospital. He said the climbers were rappelling down the mountain when they ran out of rope 50 to 100 feet above the ground. They were being stung the entire time.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, that's too far to jump.
Yeah,
bail. Oh, my gosh. What state was that in? I'm sorry, I didn't.
That was in Arizona, Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, Arizona. Well, hey, that's very unfortunate. Gosh, that would hurt. But they didn't need medical attention.
Yeah. And you've got nowhere to go.
Nowhere, sit back up the mountain. That's what they, you know, that's what they say when you climb a mountain. Once you reach the summit, you're halfway there.
Yep.
And those words fall very true for those poor, unfortunate climbers.
Because it's there is why. Okay, Portland, Oregon. A federal appeals court halted the killing of sea lions that make fast food of endangered salmon and steelhead at the Bonneville Dam on the Columbia River. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that federal agencies haven't adequately explained how fish survival is threatened by sea lions, but not by human fishing that takes many more salmon and steelheads.
Yeah. That is so true, man. That is so true. There's so many instances where, well, not necessarily sea lions, but different types of animals that, you know, here in our state, the coyotes get all the blame for the rabbit population and so forth, and deer population, and it's just silly. That's silly too. Silly,
okay.
Silly world. Okay.
Yep. Okay, one of my favorite places, Tampa Bay's Lowry Park Zoo and the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, this last Tuesday at Apollo Beach released a manatee back into the ocean, into its habitat. Now, the zoo there in Tampa, they rehabilitate the manatees, which a lot of times get injured by boat propellers or whatever, and fishing nets or whatever, but they've done a great job over the years. And they're going to release a couple of more manatees back into the wild here soon in the future.
That's great. That's fantastic.
I have to give them a big hand. Yeah, they do a great job. Great zoo. Tampa's Lowry Park, great zoo.
Okay, you bring them up quite a bit, Dr. Day. They must be a great zoo.
Yeah, I do. We have a lot of news there, and it's usually all good news.
That's right.
Okay, we've got Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Gardens just this last week unveiled two 8-week-old cougar cubs for the first time the public gets to see them. Now, they say they are so cute and so similarly marked, it's really hard to tell the little guys apart. And I've seen them, and gosh, they are cute.
They are cute. Little cougars. That's fantastic. You're full of good news tonight.
Okay, well, this isn't such good news, but I'm going to report this story because we need to educate people a little bit about feeding bears.
Oh,
Bushkill, Pennsylvania. An 879-pound black bear.
Whoa. How big?
879 pounds.
Yes. Was this at a zoo?
No, this is a wild bear.
Oh, the guy that weighed that must have been drunk.
an 879-pound black bear.
That's too big. Go ahead.
The heaviest in state history was killed by a hunter November 15th on the first day of archery season. But the residents near Fernwood Resort said the bear, dubbed Bozo, was gentle and sometimes let people pet him. Leroy Lewis, 71, the former resort groundskeeper, said he began feeding Bozo as a cub 17 years ago.
Oh, that explains it. They were probably all sober then. Yeah, that explains why the bear's so big.
So why don't we feed wild bears?
Because wild animals are dangerous animals when they lose their fear of humans. And they come close to people, and people don't understand, and the animal comes out in the short end of the deal. It's just like I saw a television program on the Discovery Channel, and there was a group, some alligators in this river, and one of this young man started throwing marshmallows to them to feed the alligators. And the conservation officers, game wardens, whatever they were in Florida, they witnessed him doing it, and they proceeded to tell him, he says, well, you've just killed all these alligators because now we have to destroy them because they might look to people as a human source and someone could get hurt or killed. So right then and there, they brought a guy in and they euthanized, I think there was four alligators in the area the kid was throwing marshmallows to. So it's, you know, no different than gators or bears or whatever. Don't feed wild animals, not unless you're related to them.
Right. Okay, well, let's finish up the animal news tonight. In Arlington, Vermont, scientists said efforts to revive the trout populations in the Battenkill River are working. Vermont Public Radio said the number has increased by about five times since 2005. For the last 4 years, officials have been creating artificial refuges for the fish. The severe decline in trout population has been traced to the destruction of streamside habitats.
Well, that will do it. That's another that's very unfortunate. Is that your fishing news this week?
That's my fishing news for the week.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'll be darned. Well, very good, Dr. Day. Dr. Henry Day from Indianapolis, Indiana, and his massive studios there bringing us the Wild World News. We want to tell everybody, it's underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. Go to his website, JetKaiser, KAISER.com. We also want to tell all of our listeners that Larry Batson's Wild World is underwritten by several fine folks, such as Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. Folks, they cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Known for world-class fishing, they hold seven state records and one world record. Here's that website, www.santeecoopercountry.org, or give the girls a call. They'll arrange your whole trip. Guides, places to eat, rent the boat, the whole deal. 1-800-227-8510. Also, a big thank you to Jerry Jones and Tire Service Plus right in Indianapolis, Indiana. They keep the animal truck on the road. Their number, 317-243-0700. Also, Scobie Custom Meats right here in the suburbs of Greencastle, Indiana. They help feed our big cats, and they have some fantastic maple syrup that they will ship worldwide. Here's that order number, that line to get that syrup, 765-653-7119. Also, We Want Your Cottages, way up Western New York, got a fantastic website, but also the addition to the website, iKids Fishing. It's at www.wewantyou.com. That's where youngsters can download that picture of the big whopper they caught last summer and compare it to youngsters all across North America. Right there on Chautauqua Lake, fantastic cottages and, oh gosh, fantastic facility. Of course, now they're closed, but the website's still going. And that's wewantyou.com. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, right there in God's country, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. Here's their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. And also a big thank you to Harrison College with their fantastic new vet tech program. And if you think that you want a career of working with animals, Harrison College might be your outlet. Here's that website, www.harrison.edu, or their phone number, 1-888-5555-8255. 844-442-4422. Also, we want to tell everybody, don't forget our old friend, I say old friend because he was on about a month and a half ago, Kazem Sultan. He's going to be doing a concert program at the Abbey on December 8th. That's in Chicago, 3420 West Grace. So you can see Kazem Sultan there. That program starts at 7:30 that night. You should go, folks. He's an absolutely fantastic artist, and that's Kazem Sultan. Also, a big thank you to DaveDavies.com and TheAshirProject.com. Dr. Day, isn't Dave Davies' album, The Ashir Project, pretty darn good?
It's pretty unbelievable. I didn't know what to expect at first, but it's absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful album.
Yes, it is. And you can still order copies of that CD, signed by Dave Davies, former lead guitarist of the Kinks, at the Ashir, A-S-C-H-E-R-E, project.com. Also, a big thank you to Radio Mom. They help keep us on the air. They're a fantastic underwriter. Their website, radiomom.fm. Those are the underwriters. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we have a very special guest, everybody. In fact, I had to do a little arm twisting to get her to come on. But because it is a Thanksgiving holiday and we're supposed to spend it with our families, I've invited my mom to come on the program. This could be dangerous to chat with us for a few moments. Talk a little bit about some of the things she's involved with. Now, Dr. Day, she is a seasoned radio voice because she recently was interviewed on MRN Radio, Mutual Radio Network. She works with the Indianapolis Museum of Art. She was a secretary for a long, long time at a school, and you got to give her a hand for that. Hi, Mom. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
So what's it like right now in Indianapolis? You know, so we have snow here right now.
Well, I haven't looked out for a while, but the last I looked, it was just rain, you know, just steady.
Pretty miserable.
So it feels like and looks like November. I guess we should expect it, huh?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we should. We've been spoiled.
In fact, I like the change of season. So,
you
no Florida in the winter for me.
Do you like the snow?
Yes, I do. I'm not supposed to say that, but I do. I think
you
it's
do?
Exciting. Yes.
Well, I guess you could call
as long
it.
As I can get it plowed off my driveway, so I can go if I want to go. Yeah, I do. I like it. I enjoy winter. I really do.
Well, I have to tell all my listeners around the world that my mom, Elizabeth, went with us to the National Conservation Training Center in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. From this point to that destination is about, how many miles did you say that it was?
Well, I think a little over 1,100 round trip.
Yeah, 1,100.
For me, it's more for you, but yeah.
We leave in the morning. Well, that's what we try to do. And we drive straight through. And my mom is smart enough to know not to ride in the animal truck because, well, for obvious reasons. She follows us in her car. And that 550, 575 miles that we travel, Dr. Day, my mom is like a NASCAR driver. There's nobody that gets between the animal truck and my mom.
Don't get between a mother and her cub.
And that's the truth. It's like she drafts me. I mean, now I have to confess, last year I did lose Mom on that particular trip because, well, you know, we got off onto the exit and she wasn't behind me. And at that point, we had the little baby baboon with us that started screaming in our ears, so... And it was dark, so it was kind of hard to tell. And Cheryl kept saying to me, "Do you realize you've lost your mother?" I said, "I know." What do we do? But we finally, of course, rejoined and headed on. And it was only traumatic for maybe 45 minutes. That's a pretty spectacular.
I don't like to remember that because it puts me in shame.
Well, it wasn't your fault. It was your godforsaken son that wasn't looking in his rearview mirror and made a quick right when he saw Well, we're in the midst of construction, so it was like I heard about that. I still hear about that every once in a while.
Larry?
Yes.
I hate to interrupt, but I believe that your other guest is on the line, your sister.
Is my sister on the line? Melanie?
She sure is.
Well.
Hi, Melanie.
Sorry. How's things in Wisconsin?
Cold.
Is there snow?
No.
No snow?
No snow. No snow. No snow.
Well, you keep saying that. Just keep that. No. Well, we have snow here, at least at my house. Now,
well, good.
Yeah, good.
Just keep it there, huh?
You can have it. You can have all you want.
Well, we will. We'll have more than we'll ever want. So we were discussing, now you may not have heard about this, Melanie, but we've been making these trips for the last 3 years to West Virginia at the National Conservation Training Center. And Mom follows us. She follows the animal truck in her car with her little Toto dog. And it's 570 miles, and we leave in the morning. We drive straight through. And I was telling the audience how she's very similar to a NASCAR driver, where I think maybe one truck got between our two vehicles the entire time, and she's, like, drafting me the entire way. That's kind of how, like, you drive. What's that little car you like to drive, Melanie?
My Solstice?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Doctor,
Mom's been in that once or twice.
She has?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes,
I took
definitely.
A spin.
How was that trip, Mom? Was it hair-raising?
Well, actually, it was in a way.
It was? What?
Was
the top down?
Convertible.
Oh, yeah.
Was it, Melanie asked, was the top down?
Oh, yes, it was down.
Oh, my Lord. How did you not mess up your hair?
Well, I did. I wasn't. That's why I meant it raised my hair.
Oh, my gosh. I'd like to have a video of that. You know, you've named that car, haven't you, Melanie?
Oh, Kenny? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Dr. Henry Day would be interested in that.
Yeah.
She named her car Kenny Henry.
Now, why is the car named Kenny?
I'm not sure why. It just kind of fit. And then when I wrecked it, it was like, who killed Kenny? You know, it's like, no, that's not why. Yeah, okay.
Those you bastard.
You what?
Oh, that's what they say when they kill Kenny. You bastard.
Oh.
That's what I said, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate. So have you been on any adventures, Melanie, here lately, now that we're reminiscing over our Thanksgiving dinner?
Not recently. I mean, we took about I don't remember how many miles we put on the car. We went out west this summer.
Oh, you did?
Went all the way to Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, you name it. We hit it.
Wow.
Like 2 weeks.
And how many? And how many weeks?
2 weeks.
Pretty
much nonstop rolling. Yeah.
I was gonna say that's quite a few miles, my Lord. So what was the most interesting?
Yeah, right.
So what was the most interesting thing that you saw on your trip out west?
Because we hit Yellowstone. We hit every national park that we came within 200 miles of. So probably the most interesting was when we stayed at Yellowstone, we stayed in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And walk out the door and see 2 or 3 bison within a few feet of the car. And they were bigger than the car. And it's like, oh, my God. Okay. That was probably, and, you know, having one walk right by the car with the top down, it's like, well, don't make him mad.
You know, it's a good thing that bison wasn't in heat.
Uh-huh, little red car. Ooh, close.
He might have looked at it as a romantic item. You know, the old story about the bison, many many years ago, when I was in Bloomington, I worked for the gentleman that bought the bison from Brown County State Park. The bison's name was Abe, and the reason that Brown County State Park sold the bison is he could not stand the sound of a running engine. So in his tenure at Brown County State Park, I guess he basically demolished two or three cars of visitors, whereas they get too close and the bison would just get back and square up and just proceed to turn it into a rumpled piece of metal.
Yep.
So my boss bought this bison, and I was out at his farm one day, and I wasn't really aware of the bison's history, and I was on the riding lawnmower that he had. And I don't know what I heard. I don't know what I heard or felt. I think I either felt the ground rumbling, or I heard the ground rumbling, kind of like the movie. What was that Western movie that was about 7 hours long? I can't think of it right now. But as I looked up, I could see this bison in full tilt, running toward my running engine that was underneath me in the riding lawnmower. So I bailed off and. The buffalo proceeded to destroy the riding lawnmower. So, now you know how when the bison would escape out there. Now, you might think about this the next time you're out west, and if you run into that instance again, we just go out there and throw little rocks at them, and eventually they would run the other direction. But I always had a question how sane that was, because I thought. If it decided to turn around and chase me, it'd be like being chased by a fuzzy automobile. But Well, we're going to hear more about. Yes.
Yeah, you just reminded me, Melanie did, of a bison story.
Yeah.
On our last trip that we took, I guess it was just Keith at that point and a friend of his, but we were in Custer.
Mm-hmm.
State Park in South Dakota, and we were in a Suburban, which is a big old heavy, it's a truck.
Right.
And we were surrounded by the bison.
Oh, you were.
And one of them, and this was, of course, it was in late summer, mm-hmm. August, and one of them ran past the truck and just brushed the truck and shook that big old Suburban. Yeah, that was scary, because you couldn't do anything. You were surrounded, so you just sat there and hoped. So, having one of those near Melanie's little solstice, I don't know.
Oh well, that's right. They can be quite powerful and terrifying animals in the right circumstances. So yeah, I understand her. Concern with the little bison by the car. Absolutely. We're going to come back in a few moments, folks. We're going to continue our conversation with my sister Melanie and my mom on this fantastic Thanksgiving Day. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Lady, the host.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat. Oh, boy, a kitty cat. Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
Ish, bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on the magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. I want to tell everyone that this program is underwritten by several folks, keeps us on air, makes it possible to bring the fine guests we have each week, such as Jerry Jones and Tire Service Plus, right here in Indianapolis, 317-243-0700. Also, Scobie Custom Meats, they feed our big cats. That number is 765-653-7119. They also have some fantastic maple syrup that they ship out. And also, We Want Your Cottages, way up in Chautauqua Lake, New York. Their website, www.wewantyou.com. Their number is 716-789-3383. You need to check out their website, iKids Fishing, where youngsters can download the picture of that big whopper they've caught over the summer season and compare it to young anglers all across North America. That's at wewantyou.com. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful scenic Estes Park, Colorado, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. Their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com, and Harrison College. They've got a fantastic vet tech school. Their website is www.harrison.edu, or their number, 1-888-544-4422. And Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina. Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. Folks, it's so big it looks like an ocean. Fantastic fishing. Here's that website, SanteeCooperCountry.org, or give the girls a call. They'll arrange your whole trip. 1-800-227-8510. Those are the underwriters, and they make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's guest, well, it's like Thanksgiving over the airwaves. My mom, Elizabeth, and my sister, Melanie, have both joined us. Elizabeth lives in the fine city of Indianapolis, Indiana. And Melanie, now, you're in Wisconsin, but I'm so embarrassed. What town do you live in?
Nina.
What? Nina.
There's a song, and I don't know if I could say the title of it, but Nina. Yeah. South of Green Bay.
You're a Green Bay Packer fan.
You're within the state of Wisconsin? You betcha.
Lord have mercy. Well, you know, they might do okay this year.
They're doing okay. They're holding their own.
Yeah, I couldn't say that for our beloved Indianapolis Colts, but now we were discussing this trip. Now, I had a little story from Custer State Park that I was going to bring up. I was kind of debating on whether to tell this story. Mom, and when we were out there with Dad and you and Kevin and Keith, my two brothers, and, of course, Melanie, and do you remember the incident where the traffic was blocked for miles going through Custer State Park?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, what had happened is we weren't quite certain why there was such a backup. Usually in the national park system, when they have a situation like this, it's obvious they call it an animal jam, where some animal's along the edge of the roadway and close to the roadway, and everybody stops to get a picture of it, which creates this huge traffic jam. So we were caught up one in Custer State Park there in South Dakota, and So I remember Dad was going to get out and see what the whole problem was, because it was some time, and I ventured up there with him to check out the situation, and it so happens there was a couple wild burros in the road locked together in a romantic interlude.
Oh, Lord. Well,
and when I said, and when I walked up to see what was happening, he said, "Go back to the car." And I remember that.
That'd be different today.
that was a few moons ago.
Yeah.
But that was a long time. And what a trip. You know, one of the great things about our childhood was that we had an opportunity to see all these magnificent places. Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, both the Dakotas. I think one of my most memorable experiences, Mom, was the time we had a chance to really see a local area. And that local area, we got a really good look at it. It was Bismarck.
Is
that North Dakota or is that South Dakota?
Well,
that's North Dakota.
Bismarck, North Dakota. We were there for, gosh, I'm thinking like 3 days.
3 or 4 days, yeah. And I have never seen so much dust in my life.
You know, there's not really a scenic inch of Bismarck, North Dakota that I can remember.
Well, you know, I've come to feel differently about the Dakotas.
Yeah.
I really have. Of course, North Dakota, I know as a family we stopped at the Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
Yeah.
It might not have had the title of National Park. It might have been Memorial Park at that time. But do you and Melanie remember that they had the coal-burning fires under the ground? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those have burned out. But
what, did they go on for years or something?
Do you know how many years, Mountain? Good many years.
Once a coal vein caught on fire, and just got to let it burn.
Yeah, it just burns so it burns out. But those have finally burned out. But you don't remember walking. I've just really come to appreciate both of the Dakotas. Of course, South Dakota, it just offers so much. And I agree with you. That's one of the things that we did as a family that were just wonderful to be able to do it. And I can remember hearing women, I can remember specifically a couple times when I went to have my hair done and I listened to the women talk, and they were going on vacation, but the kids were staying with Grandma.
You're right.
And I can remember, I probably came home and commented to your dad about that. I mean, why aren't they going, you know, like, why aren't they going somewhere where children can go? I mean, I've never understood that, but because I guess I didn't travel as a child. Our family didn't even have a car.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
the chance to do that, oh.
It could be that they've raised heathen brats.
I don't know, but they sure missed out on a lot of opportunities.
Or they may have been going to the casinos in Las Vegas for their vacation. So.
Well, that's true. But the American West just off. Well, our whole country has wonderful places for people to go and see. I've said so often to friends, we addicted 4 children to the American West.
Mm.
And, you know. Just,
well, you did. It's your fault.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely your fault. You know, it's just like Cheryl and I went there on our honeymoon. And we flew out, which, to be in Colorado in 3 hours to me was like, whoa, this is a whole different deal. And within an hour, we were in the park. So we had gotten there early enough that we couldn't check in yet. So we had some time to kill. So obviously, I told Cheryl, I said, well, let's go ahead and go in and drive around. So before we knew it, we were driving up Trail Ridge Road. You know, this is her first time ever being in the mountains. She'd never seen anything like this. So we'd gotten to the top of Trail Ridge Road. Now, one part of this story that I left out was it was our honeymoon, and one of the stewardesses found out on the airplane, so they proceeded to give us a complimentary bottle of champagne.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So we went ahead and had that bottle of champagne on the plane, and of course at the end. So when we get to the top of Trail Ridge Road, and I'm very sleepy, I said, Cheryl, you're going to have to drive back down. She'd never driven in the mountains before. So she's driving back down, and for our listeners, this is the highest continuous highway in North America. I think the altitude it reaches is, 10, 5, 11, something like that. But it's absolutely
Even 12, just under 12,000. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just magnificent. So she's driving down a mountain, and I'm sleeping. So she gets to a point down there, and she elbows me and says, which way do I go? And I've been out there so much, I go, and I wake up from a dead sleep, and I look up, and I say, make a left. And to this day, she still talks about how we drove, and it was right, you know, we drove over, and we checked in. It was a great time. But we love Colorado. In fact, we love McGregor Mountain Lodge, and they're one of our underwriters, and we definitely appreciate it. I'll tell you what, there's some folks that live out there in that part of the country that are just maniacs. I've got one friend who's been on the program, and he's one of the underwriters. He hikes. He doesn't hike Long's Peak, which is the highest point in the park, 14.5 around there. But he runs up it and runs down it. Does the climb in about, round trip, he does it in about 3.5 hours.
Oh, my word.
And it's usually an 11-hour trip one way. But he's just not right. I mean, that's all I can say about that. Now, Dr. Henry Day tonight said he would have a couple of questions for my mother, and I was rather reluctant to do this because I have no idea what he would ask. Dr. Day, the floor is yours. I will interrupt if I feel necessary, though. Or to defend myself.
Did Larry have a nickname when he was growing up?
That's a good question. You know, I don't recall, maybe Lair, but I don't recall that he did. Do you recall, Melanie? I don't recall. It was
I had a few nicknames, but I can't say them on here. But, you know, older brother, you know, okay. Oh, I don't think, not that we knew about.
I know, before he was born, I wanted to name him after his dad. And his dad said, he would have none of that. It's not that he didn't like his name, but he said, they'll call him Junior. And he couldn't stand that thought. So for that reason, you don't carry your dad's name because he thought you'd be... you'd have the nickname of Junior, and he just thought that was the
let me put a little insight to this now, too. My father's name was Stuart. Stuart is a fine name. So they don't give me my dad's name. They give me his middle name, Eugene.
you had to have
something. Yep.
Eugene.
I don't know. Remember if your dad protested that, or if I thought he ought to have part of his name.
What are they going to call me if my name's Eugene? Huge? Lord. But anyway.
Well, you just use the E, that just shortness E, and there.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. And they didn't name me Lawrence, which is wonderful. They kept my name as Larry, so. All right, continue, Dr. Day. That first one, I don't know. I know my nickname, but I'm not going to say it on this show.
Uh-oh. Must have been one of your buddies.
Oh, yeah. Well, something about the stains that hang on the side of my head. Go ahead, Dr. Day.
Well, we used to call you Uncle Lair.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
They still call me that every once in a while. It just makes me feel about a million years old. Go ahead, Dr. Day.
When Larry was growing up, he is quite an artist. Did he have that artistic ability when he was a young kid? Was he
Yes, he did.
Did he show that talent?
Yes. It's just in his genes. His grandfather was not a that not by profession, but his paternal grandfather was quite good. The problem there was he only painted when he got in the mood, and he didn't get in the mood very often. So I think I know Larry has probably the best thing, one of the few things that he did. And then I have had a great uncle who was an artist, not by profession, but he was quite prolific and worked at it all his whole life. He's gone now. So I think it was just in his genes, but all three. And Melanie never really tried her hand at, she did, she took some jewelry classes in high school, but I don't think you really got into art in high school, did you, Melanie? Like
no.
The boys did.
No.
Just didn't seem to be her interest. But Larry, you know, yes, he did.
Well, I can draw an apple. She can break down an engine, so what can I say?
There you go.
Okay. Dr. Day?
Well, let's see. When Larry was growing up, did he have a tendency to drag home anything that he found in the wild? Was the house full of stuff?
Yeah. Yes, he did. I remember two incidents that stick in my mind. One was, of course, he's an adult, and he's already moved out of the nest and created his own. But he came by the house one evening, and he'd been, I think, to Brown County. And he stuck his head in the front door and yelled at his dad, "Come see what I have in the truck, Dad." Well, he didn't say Mom because he knew how Mom felt about snakes. So I think that was what, a rattler you caught down there, Larry? Do you remember?
Yeah. Yes, it was. It was a rattlesnake.
Yeah.
I wanted to share it with everybody.
And then the other thing was that we lived in a tri-level, and in the lower level, and we had a rainstorm, and this ugly-looking, beige, bland-looking creature somehow got in between the storm door and the primary door. It just washed down into the stairwell. And it was a salamander. I couldn't identify the thing, but of course Larry had to have that thing. And so I don't recall what you put it in. But I had this habit of getting up in the mornings and not putting on shoes. And of course this one morning I came down the steps as usual. And when Larry got up, he notified us that the salamander was missing. And I said, "Oh my God, I could have stepped on that thing." Never found it. And then on a family trip, if you and Melanie both remember this, we were going across Nebraska, and the box turtles were just everywhere on the road. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to stop. We had to stop and get one and put it in some kind of a box we had. So I don't remember. I guess we probably let it go. I don't think we kept it for the whole vacation because that was on the way west. So, but yeah, it was always some kind of a critter, a big ant or something. Something
well,
not human.
I remember the box turtle incident, and when we had it in a cardboard box, and the turtle was scratching the box constantly, so it was kind of getting on my dad's nerves. So the box turtle was relocated from the western part of Nebraska to the eastern portions of Colorado. So,
and may I say, your dad was very, did not unnerve easily. So.
No, he didn't. It was, yeah. So that deal didn't last too long. Okay, doctor. So far, your questions have been fairly okay.
Well, let me tell you my little box turtle story. Oh. I've always been a box turtle fan. Love the turtles, the eastern and the western. They're just something about the box turtle. But same thing, driving down the road, there's a box turtle in the middle of the street. I don't want him to get hit, so I just basically slow down, open the door, pick him up, and I set him, reach around the seat and set him in the back seat. Well, at some time during the trip, he crawled underneath the seat up to the front, and I was going downhill and went to put on the brakes. Well, the turtle was underneath the brake pedal, and I couldn't figure out why the car wasn't slowing down. So I'm coming downhill, and I'm trying to reach underneath the pedal and get the turtle out while I'm trying to steer and drive, and I hit a tree and died. No, okay, well, the last part I made up, but the rest of it was true.
Oh, my word.
You know, I can see that happening.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that happening.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me of a story you told me, Larry, or maybe anybody else around, about the snake had got out of its bag when you were on a trip coming home and it crawled. Do you remember?
Oh, yes, that was, we were in New York State. We were, that's when I had my reptile exhibit that we traveled around with, and I had a van full of snakes, including cobras and rattlesnakes, and also snakes that would not kill you. And we were driving the New York Thruway, and it was like 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I was in the snake truck. And all of a sudden, I felt something crawling across my lap, and I fell down, and it was a snake. And what was so attention-getting about it was that when I first touched it, it felt like the cobra that I had in the truck. So I had to pull over to the side of the road and turn on the interior light. Luckily, it was a harmless rat snake. But for there a couple moments there, I absolutely thought I might die.
Oh.
Pretty exciting. But I was all right. Anything else, Dr. Day, that you'd like to bring up tonight?
Well, one more thing. Why wasn't Melanie and Larry's name, why didn't they start with a K?
Another good question. Well, now, I can explain Melanie's name. Larry's, I don't know where that came from, but Melanie, I was a fan of Gone with the Wind.
And
do you remember Melanie
is
Gone with the Wind?
No, I've never sat through that whole movie.
Oh,
nor I.
Well, maybe that's a chick flick.
Well,
maybe that's
one
of the men, but that's where I heard the name Melanie. And so when Melanie was born, well, before she's born, knew exactly what her name was going to be. And I've never asked her if she likes her name. It works.
Well, it's a little late now, Mom.
I had it for years.
It's
but
all kind of like
I
shutting
ask
the barn door after the horses in the neighbor's house.
Well, I have had people who I've met whose names, they see my museum badge and they see my name is Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're an Elizabeth, also, they'll mention, well, I'm an Elizabeth. And so one of the first things I asked them, do you like your name? Because when I was a kid, I hated it. It was so old-fashioned. It was pompous. I had friends who had glamorous names like Barbara, Vivian, Mary Lou, and I had this old-fashioned, dumb name. But I finally learned to like it. But I always ask somebody who has
whether they like their name or not. What do they usually say?
Well, both
it
of
works.
Time, yes. Yeah.
It works.
Well, it does because you have a cute little olive baboon at your house with the same name.
Well, that's right. And believe it or not, we named it after my mother. And she didn't talk to me for a long, long time. But, yeah, absolutely. That's true, Kenny. Well, Mom, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. We're almost
And happy
through.
Thanksgiving to Melanie.
Oh,
who are,
you too.
Who are liver. I talk to her more on Facebook. And God love the Facebook network. It's bringing the world together. Well, happy Thanksgiving. Well, happy Thanksgiving to both of you. Love you. I'm so glad that you came on the show tonight to celebrate this wonderful holiday. And though we may not be talking turkey here, but we had a pretty good time, I think.
Thank you.
Yep.
Take care.
Well, Dr. Day, thank you very much for the Wild World News. Always exceptional.
Thank you, and what a good show.
Oh, yeah.
We'd like to do this again.
We should do it again next Thanksgiving.
That's the date, then.
We can make it a custom, absolutely. I want to remind everybody that next week on the show, we will have Fanti Cooper Country. I lost the guy's name. Tim O'Connor, there we go. From Santee Cooper Country, we'll be discovering the wilds of South Carolina. Of course, the week after, Al Jardine. Wish everybody, all of our listeners around the world, happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week. We'll talk to you here on Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.